The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter number 29, text number 41, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari, recorded on December 16th, 2007, in Christ Church, New Zealand.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter number 29, talks between Narada and King Prachinapadhi.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Etair upadruto nityam jiva lokasvabhava jai na karoti harer nunam katamrita nidoratim.
Translation and purport. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. Because the conditioned soul is always disturbed by the bodily necessities, such as hunger and thirst, he has very little time to cultivate attachment to hearing the nectarian words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. Unless one is associated with devotees, he cannot cultivate Krishna consciousness. Nirjana bhajana, cultivating Krishna consciousness in a solitary place, is not possible for the neophyte, for he will be disturbed by the bodily necessities, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Being so disturbed, one cannot cultivate Krishna consciousness. We therefore see that devotees, known as sahajiya, who make everything very easy, do not associate with advanced devotees. Such persons, in the name of devotional activities, are addicted to all kinds of sinful acts, illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, and meat eating. There are many so-called devotees passing themselves off as devotees while engaging in these sinful activities. In other words, one who is influenced by sinful activity cannot be accepted as a person in Krishna consciousness. A person addicted to sinful life cannot develop Krishna consciousness, as indicated in this verse.
Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jata Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Purijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha.
Srila Prabhupada is making it very, very clear how much we are dependent on each other. If we proudly think independent, that I don't need the devotees' association to become Krishna conscious, Then Prabhupada explains in another purport, such a person is living in a grand hallucination. So even though we see sometimes it's an austerity to associate with the devotees, because sometimes we don't agree with each other. Sometimes we disagree with each other, isn't it? But we should never fail to note that even though we disagree sometimes on how to serve Krishna, we're all agreeing that we should serve Krishna. So that's the most important thing. That we all agree that we should be serving Krishna, we should be serving Srila Prabhupada. These things we agree on. So whatever disagreements there may be, they are simply details. They're not that important. They're really not that important. If we allow the differences of opinion of how to serve Krishna to compel us not to associate with devotees any longer, then we are condemned to the path of sinful life sooner or later. The devotee association empowers us to remain fixed in our sadhana. Why is that? It is a simple principle explained in the Bhagavad Gita. Sangat sanjayate kama. One's consciousness is developed according to the company that one keeps. So, what is our nature? They say man is a social animal. Human beings like to associate. It's their nature. They want to associate with human beings. So if we do not associate with the devotees, then we must take the association of the non-devotees. So somehow or other, we must find the way to continue associating with devotees throughout the entire life. It is so vital thing. That's the whole purpose of this society, International Society for Krishna Consciousness, ISKCON. The whole purpose is simply to provide a mechanism by which we can associate with devotees throughout the whole life. Because actually, besides that, we have no hope. Simply reading the books is not enough. Just like if you're taking some chemistry course, you study in the lecture, in the textbook, that H2O equals water. But to really get the full realization, you have to go to the laboratory and you have to do it. You have to mix those two parts of hydrogen with the one part of oxygen and actually get the water in the test tube. And then you really know that H2O equals water. So we have the most wonderful textbooks, Srila Prabhupada's books. But Prabhupada also gave us the laboratory. That's ISKCON. The place where we can go and we can apply these books practically. There is Gyan and there is Vigyan. Gyan means the theoretical knowledge. And Vigyan is the realized knowledge. So from the books we can get gyan, but when you apply what's in the books in the association of the devotees, then you get vigyan, you get realization. As pointed out, the nature is to be totally caught up in the bodily necessities. That's our, in the material existence, that's the natural psychology. It's like Prabhupada would approach people to read the Back to Godhead magazine years ago when he was trying to distribute BTG in Delhi, and they would say, "No time, sir." Because once you get caught up in the material society, then everything goes into eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. The whole day gets caught up in it. Once you get that sort of momentum going, it's very, very difficult to break out of that pattern. Very difficult. But the sadhu sangha described here, sadhu sangha, sarva shastre kai, lavamatra sadhu sangha, sarva siddhi hai. That even one moment's association with the saintly devotees of the Lord, it is declared in all the scriptures that even one moment, actually, the lavamatra means 1/11th of a second. That's a very brief, shorter than a snap of the finger. Even brief 1/11th of a second association with a saintly Vaishnava can give you shakti, give you potency, can empower you to give up slavery to these senses. You see? We are the slaves of the senses. Godas. Godasas and Godasis. We are the slaves of these senses. But if we can somehow get the association of the devotees of the Lord, Sadhu Sangha, then we get higher taste. Why is it a higher tip? Because Prabhupada says, well, we need to understand why Prabhupada says. And we need to taste it. That is realization. It is higher taste because the self is not the body. The covering cannot enjoy, actually. The covered senses cannot enjoy. Prabhupada gives a very graphic example in this connection. When people have sex, they become naked, you see. That is the enjoyment. The skin touching the skin. If their body is covered, the enjoyment is not like that. So, they want the uncovered enjoyment, you see, the naked enjoyment. So in the same way, it's a very graphic example, in the same way, the actual enjoyment for the self is uncovered enjoyment. Now we are covered by this material body, you see. And that is preventing us, we are trying to enjoy in a covered way through the covering. But that is restricted enjoyment. But when we come to the natural, uncovered position, naked position, so to speak, the soul in its original pure state, before it identifies with the covering, we enjoy there, then that is actual enjoyment. So, that individual self, how does he get that enjoyment? That enjoyment, just as the part of the body enjoys in relationship with the complete whole, is like the hand, it requires nutrition. I may cut my finger and then gradually it will heal. Where does it get the energy to heal? You see? The body is supplying energy. I'm eating some foodstuffs, they're transported into blood, and that energy is transmitted that can actually heal that wound on the finger. You see? So the hand is getting its necessities by being connected with the body. If you cut the hand off from the body, can it get what it requires? No, it cannot do that. Not possible. So the individual self, as Prabhupada used to preach at 26 Second Avenue, one should dovetail the individual consciousness with the supreme consciousness. Because in that dovetailed condition, which later on he explained means surrender to Krishna, he was preaching to the Mayavadis. Actually, Prabhupada used to always preach against the Mayavadis, and the boys there, 26, they wondered, who are these people, the Mayavadis? Prabhupada's always preaching. Then they finally figured out, we are the Mayavadis. Because we've been reading all these Mayavadi books, and now we are Mayavadis. So Prabhupada is always criticizing the Mayavadis. The Mayavadi, he thinks, I am myself God. Who will I surrender to? I'll just surrender to myself. Is it? But such a philosophy is ludicrous. Are you the complete whole? Are you the sum total of everything that exists? No. We have practical experience, each and every one of us can experience simply by honest observation that I am part of something which is much bigger than myself, just like I'm sitting in this room right now. The room is much bigger than me. I'm only occupying a little small space within this room, you see. And this room, it is only a certain small portion of this temple building, which is only occupying a certain portion of this property, which is, you know, in this way, can you easily understand that one can easily understand that I am not I am not everything, I'm just part of it. Om Purnamadaha Purnamidam, that complete whole is not me. I'm part of that complete whole. So, by simple, careful, analytical study, one can understand what is the natural, healthy position for the part in relation with the whole. Every single part of a unit is meant to serve the complete whole unit. Just like here, there's a microphone, you see. And every part of the microphone, it has a certain function to serve the complete whole. If it becomes dysfunctional, it needs to be repaired. So, if we are not perfectly dovetailed with the Supreme, with the complete whole, with Krishna, with God, then we are in a state, a dysfunctional state, and we require to be repaired. This material world is actually a repair shop for all the dysfunctional jivas. If you're dysfunctional, you get sorted out into this department of God's kingdom. We are still within God's kingdom. We have just been sorted out. All right, here's the dysfunctional department, the repair shop of God's kingdom. And the spiritual master, he is the qualified repairman. He can fix us. He can see what's wrong with us and he can repair us. We have to submit to the repair job so that we can again become functional. And we can again be fully dovetailed with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Back to our natural, original, functional state of consciousness, where we are offering every thought, every word, and every deed in the service of the Lord, and deriving unlimited reciprocation from Him. Did God create us to make us miserable? Did God create us to punish us, and to throw us into hell? No. Krishna is emanating unlimited numbers of jivas from himself for the sole purpose of expanding his own rasa. Krishna, he likes to enjoy. Enjoyment is what he's into. He's really into it. His desire is to enjoy like anything. Unlimitedly he wants to enjoy. So he expands from himself an infinite number of jivas so that he can have an infinite number of enjoyable relationships. That's why no two jivas are exactly the same. There's no carbon copies. Just like snowflakes. Is any two snowflakes that are exactly the same? No. There are millions and millions of snowflakes. If you look at them under a microscope, they're all beautiful. And they're all different. So Krishna expands unlimited numbers of jivas from himself. And they're all beautiful and wonderful. And they're all different. They're all unique. He wants to have a loving relationship with each. There'll be a separate rasa, a distinct flavor from each and every one of those different relationships. So this is why if we opt out of having a loving relationship with Krishna, we'll never be happy. We cannot be happy. It's impossible. Because we exist for the sole purpose of having rasa with the Supreme, a relationship, loving relationship. That's why we exist. We are meant to have loving reciprocation with the Supreme Personality of Godhead every minute. So this is the beauty, the wonder, the majesty of what Prabhupada has given us. Even in our deplorable fallen state that we are in at the present moment. By simply taking up the pathway of the great acharyas, sadhana bhakti, we can reciprocate now with the Lord. I remember I had, in 1968, I stumbled across a Bhagavad Gita. Actually, it wasn't even Prabhupada's Gita, but the one verse that I tuned into was correctly translated, luckily. In this verse, you know that verse. Patram pushpam palam tayam. If one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water, I will accept it. I was amazed. You mean I can offer something to God and He'll accept it from me? Little old nonsense rascal me? I can actually approach God and offer something to Him and He'll actually take it from such a contaminated wretch as myself? I was amazed that Krishna would, that God, Krishna, He would accept something. He would actually reciprocate. Yes, I accept your offering. Thank you. That was amazing to me. I had been raised as a Christian boy. We had never heard such a concept. That you could directly approach God and you could give Him something that He would personally accept from you. So, this wonderful Vaishnava culture, Bhagavad Gita culture, it introduces us into a world where you can have a personal relationship with God. You can offer things to Him, He'll accept them. It's the sweetest, most wonderful thing. So, if we will take this very seriously and not waste our life running after material sense enjoyment, then we can make sure that in this lifetime I can go back to home, back to God. Never to take birth again here in this rotten place. Punar janmana vidyate. Never to take birth here again. This is the guarantee of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. He guarantees. Prabhupada makes good on his promises. It is not hype. So I can ask now if there's some question. So everything is clearly understood. There's no shades of gray there in the brain. Yeah. Okay.
We all have the goal of serving Prabhupada and the goal of serving Krishna. Sometimes those details will seem more paramount than the other two goals. So how can we get into perspective? How can we?
So I couldn't. My hearing is really bad today. What was she saying?
Some of these details, when it comes in conflict, and that there is offenses towards one another, and sometimes the devotees leave the service and go away.
So the question is.
The question is that how to overcome.
How to overcome the offenses and the conflicts,
and
the devotees, the phenomenon devotees taking off like that. I remember reading one letter that Prabhupada had written. He was describing the six symptoms of surrender. And I loved this particular way Prabhupada had described it. One of the items he described as one of the symptoms of surrender was to become a part of a spiritual family. That really resonated with me when I read that. Because if you're really in this material world, you know, most families stick together, even though they have their disagreements, they still stick together because we are family. You see, it's based on the body. But that same sort of family attachment, we need to have that in ISKCON. That we are Prabhupada's family. Prabhupada is our father, grandfather, you know, founder Acharya. So because we're all Prabhupada's children, we stick together even if we fight. It's not very important. That kind of feeling, that mood, that atmosphere of a family that we have to have. We have to cultivate that and encourage that, and that has to be there. Prabhupada also instilled that feeling in us. Of course, on one hand, the spiritual master, he is the... It's like a military, the general, you see. Official, corporate, you see. There's that side of it. Policies and orders coming down from the higher authorities. There's that side of it. But that's only one side of it. The other side is the affectionate father, the affectionate grandfather. I know Prabhupada wrote me one letter in the early days of my being a member of this movement. Official letter. I had sent him my Guru Dakshina, so he acknowledged the amounts of the checks that I sent and gave me some official instructions from the spiritual master to the disciple. But then, at the very end, I got some special treat from Prabhupada. When the letter is typed out, you knew the secretary had typed it, and you wondered, well, how carefully did he actually give me exactly what Prabhupada said? You know, you had a little doubt. Maybe he edited a little bit from what Prabhupada said and expressed it in his own way. You know, those doubts are in the brain when you get the letter, and you know Prabhupada didn't type it. He just signed it. He dictated it and he signed it. But after he signed it, I knew I had really gotten the pure essence of Prabhupada, because in the same ink that he had signed it, he put a P.S. And I went, wow, here it is, P.S. Prabhupada was inspired to add something he hadn't dictated to the secretary. What is this special extra thing? P.S. We are going to Nairobi on Friday night. And I knew I wasn't just an official disciple. I wasn't just a private in Prabhupada's army. I was his son. He was telling me, we are going to Nairobi on Friday night.